Yeah, go ahead, ma'am. I'm sequestered, so I can talk with you.
Well, I have that speakerphone in the car. My dad is with me. So his name is Lee. So he knows the background. And, you know, I had been doing a lot of thinking about our conversation yesterday, and I called a couple of their friends. And, of course, we know the right thing to do is to give you the email, correct?
Yes, ma'am.
Again, you know, I told you the reason that I never came forward before was because of the murders and, we're just dealing with some not very nice people. So, I do believe Melody should be held accountable. She was warned by me 6 years ago. I would rather not send it to you and again, I'm speaking to you off the record, correct?
Well, ma'am, you know, I'm not a reporter, and, you know, I've got ethical obligations. I've already reached out to the Attorney General and told him I was concerned about your safety, and I threw a responsible hand grenade his way that I told him that, he had told people before that he had not interviewed you. Is that correct? That his office
had... That's right.
Yeah, and I said, listen, I have to report to him because you told me information that confirmed criminal activity by state officials. By law, I have to tell him. And I told him that I'd had communications with you and that you had reported criminal activity of several people. And I said, Keith Moore, Stacy Phelps, Dan Gerke, Melody Shop, and others. And I says, the most important, I pointed out in my correspondence to him, I said, hey, this woman is fearful for her safety. And I'm reporting this information because I'm fearful for her safety. So, I'm a palms up kind of guy, ma'am. I want you to, I won't lie to you. You ask me a question, I'll give you a straight answer.
I don't mind giving you the copy of the email, but I don't want to send it electronically. I don't want people to know that you got it from me. And
okay.
You can do whatever you want with it.
Okay. Okay. When
like I told you, I am coming to Brookings to see my son on Friday and Saturday, and if you want it, you can meet with me, and I'll just hand it to you.
Okay, ma'am. I for your safety, as we talked about yesterday. That may be the only remaining paper or digital copy of that thing. My experience in this type of corruption issues, I told you yesterday that I was a retired federal agent. When they find out that such information exists, normally criminals go through and they try and expunge it as best possible. I think the more official people like myself that are trying to do something about this that has that, the safer you are. Because then it's no longer about you having the only remaining copy, but them trying to defend against the facts that are in there. I went through and I went back and I listened to the testimony that she gave in front of us the other day, and I believe her comments that she... I asked specifically about the emails that we're talking about and ones with Roger Campbell, and she glossed. She didn't even talk about anything with you. She said that there might have been email exchanges with Roger Campbell, and then she walked it back and tried to claim there was none. So, this is the MO of these people. What did you ever have any dealings with Roger Campbell?
Well, his wife used to work for me. She was kind of like my secretary, but then her name was Corey Ann. And I visit their homes quite often. He was really a good guy. Corey Ann used to work for me, but then I found out later that she was actually the one who was kind of like the one that was giving Stacy all the information. She kind of betrayed me, I guess was the word for it.
Right. Well, Roger left about the same time as they got rid of you. Is that correct?
I was gone in January 10th of 2011, and then Roger came in, and he lasted another year, maybe. I'm not sure when exactly he was hired or when he left, but it might have been in 2012.
Okay, so you wouldn't have had any, you don't have any any information on that then, right?
No, once I left here, I just thank God that I got fired by Melody, and I was glad to get out of there because I could tell that, you know, they weren't doing things like they're supposed to do.
Right. What? Let me ask you this. What did they ever accuse you of anything to justify firing you, or did they just simply fire you because it was a new administration, as she said the other day in the hearing?
I had a really high job performance. My 6 months job performance was, both her and Tom Oster said it was the best job performance appraisal they'd ever done on anyone. I was the best Indian education director they ever had, and they gave me high marks for everything. And then when I started questioning all the grant stuff, that's when things went south. And then Melody even told me at one time, she said, "I'll try to protect you from these guys." She said, "But, you know, Melmer and Keith Moore were really good friends with Governor Dugard. And I suppose, you know, to give them the benefit of the doubt, they didn't really realize what type of people Scott and Stacy were. You know, they just saw me as this newcomer coming in and trying to tear down supposedly a successful Indian program like Gear Up, and who was I to question things like this? So maybe it would just be best for everybody if she got, you know, was got let go. But no, they never gave me any indication at all. She just handed me a letter one morning and said, "Your services are no longer needed." As an exempt employee, they don't have to give you any, you know, because then, you know, but, so no, I was never given any indication prior to that. She did say she would try to save me from these guys in December, but then I thought to myself, well, hell, I don't
Which guys were we talking about? Who was it that you knew of or that she had said that wanted you fired?
Stacy Phelps, Keith Moore, Rick Melmer.
Okay, did she say why they wanted you fired?
Well, not really. She said, you need to quit worrying about the Gear Up budgets and the college access budgets and focus on larger policy issues because I was raising too many questions.
Now, what all grants are you aware of that you believe or witnessed had some misappropriation, fraud, or misuse in them?
Just like the little bit I told you, just some salaries on Gear Up, on the Gear Up grant. Other than that,
you mentioned college access. Was there something there specifically you saw that you were concerned with?
Well, I was a project director, but then me and Mark Wilson worked really closely on that grant. We were trying to do some really good things at the state level, and I was basically told, you know, this is basically Stacy Phelps money. You can't be doing this. So I said, well, excuse me, I'm the director of Indian Education, and I'm the project director. We're going to try to put together some programs that are best for kids. I don't understand what Stacy has to do with it. He works for Gear Up. Well, that's when Scott Westerhoof told me, he said, "You really don't know how things work here in Pure, do you? Mid-Central is the fiscal agent for these grants, and Stacy is our Indian education person, and yeah, he's the one that makes the decisions. and he has the ear of Keith Moore and Rick Melmer, who are really good friends with Dugard. So if you're arguing with them," they said, "you're actually arguing with Dugard." And I said, "Well, I guess I am then."
Did you ever have any personal correspondence or know that your information, like your email, was forwarded on or given to Dennis Dugard or his chief of staff, Tony Van Heusen, or Dusty Johnson?
I don't know. I wouldn't know anything like that.
Okay.
Like I said, that email was CC'd to all my colleagues who were directors. You know, I was a director of Indian Education, and so I CC'd to all my colleagues who were directors, like director of finance, director of curriculum. So it would have to have been one of them who would have forwarded on.
Gotcha.
But it sure wasn't me.
Okay.
I was just glad to get the hell out of there.
Yeah, I understand. I have the same feeling every time I leave Pier. And, you know, I was only there for 2.5 days this week, and I couldn't wait to get in my rearview mirror. Well, let me ask you this. Do you remember Liz May and her husband Avery May? They have a ranch out there by Kyle. She runs the grocery store out there.
I know of her, and I read your message this morning, but no, I don't know her. I know some maids because, you know, we are a rodeo family, but I don't know them.
Well, she said that your son had been out to their ranch there, and he was friends with, I think, one of her kids or one of the daughters, son-in-laws or something. But, you know, my thing was if you felt more comfortable giving it to her, plus she's not that far away from you. My understanding was you were down in by Chadron, Nebraska. But my biggest concern, ma'am, is I want to see that evidence, or want to see that email into evidence. I mean, I've got the information from what you told me yesterday, but I think still having a physical copy of it is an important thing. And getting that and safeguarding that, you know, I won't lie to you. I do have concerns for your safety. That's why I reached out to the Attorney General's office and made sure that I pass that information on. I did that last night when I got home at about 9:30. Was one of the first things I did was I sat down on my computer and I wrote him an email telling him that, listen, I've had this conversation. She's provided information indicating criminal misconduct by these people, and she's in fear for her safety, and I'm in fear for her safety. And, you know, I CC'd several of my colleagues, include Representative May and Senator Lance Russell. Senator Lance Russell is out in Hot Springs, and I trust those two folks with my life. But I wanted to make sure that there was a paper trail, and that, because the thing is, ma'am, that the brighter a spotlight that's shown on this, the more safe you are, because the more people that have the information that you are aware of and that you know about, the better it is, because then they've got to deal with the information. But right now, all the information is contained with you, and that's not a good thing. We're talking about a widespread scheme of corruption that went over for at least a decade, and we're talking about massive amount of money, and we've already got a whole family dead mysteriously in the center of that, and that concerns me greatly. Myself and my I've had concerns about my family safety and my safety here pushing into that. I've been the leading bull in the china shop trying to get this addressed, because it's obvious to me the extent of this corruption. And when the Attorney General, Keith Moore and Rick Melmer are at the center of this, and they have basically done everything bad to bend over backward to try and not hold them accountable. And that's the worst type of political corruption there is. So it concerns me. I don't know.
Well,
yep.
What is Jack Lee in with these guys? I mean,
what's
he like?
Well, Melmer is politically connected across the state, and there's already been pushback from people saying that we should let this go, we shouldn't be pushing into this, leave poor Rick Melmer alone. Rick Melmer has made political contributions monetarily wise to a lot of people, and you know, unfortunately, I mean, we're dealing with greed, we're dealing with corruption, and that's what a lot of these people are about. So,
yeah.
Well, would you be willing to meet with Liz May if she had time to come meet you and get a copy of that?
I suppose, yeah.
Okay. What I will do is I will give her your cell phone if that's okay with you. And I will ask her to reach out directly to you and see about getting that. How far are you from Kyle, South Dakota?
Oh, we're about 100 miles.
Okay. Would you be up for meeting her halfway by any chance?
I've got a hair appointment this afternoon, and we're getting ready to go to Brookings tomorrow. So.
Oh, you're going tomorrow. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I would still, is there any chance I can get you to take at least a photograph of it and send it to me, and then have me meet you tomorrow when you're coming through this area, and I'll buy you lunch or whatever you folks say. There's a great little restaurant on I-90 here in Alexandria called Joe's Cafe, and they got really good food.
Uh-huh. Well, actually, I'm going to a school board meeting tomorrow night. I'm on my way to Brookings tomorrow, but I won't get there until Friday afternoon.
Okay.
I gotta stop off at St. Francis tomorrow.
Gotcha. Well, yeah, I'll meet with you whenever you got time, ma'am. I will make time to meet with you. I guess, again, you know, talk with your dad. I got four daughters and two sons, and as a daddy, as a retired cop, that I put my life on the line for 23 and a half years to serve and protect you, ma'am, and I worked 18 and a half years overseas, combating terrorism, dealing with security for our nation, for military installations, for warships, and, you know, I'm telling you, as your public servant, I'm telling you the best course of action to ensure your safety is to get that letter in my hands as quickly as possible. I've got the information already from what you've told me, but I think it's important to get an actual copy of it. And like I told you yesterday, folks don't, because you address it to so many people, they're not going to know effectively where it came from. They know it's out there. I'm sure they probably tried to help destroy every copy they could. But having that and having the ability to have it and use it in official proceedings and to deal with this is extremely important.
Sure. And I guess, you know, in hindsight, it would have been really hard for even Keith and Rick and Millie to believe that, you know, Stacy and Scott and guys were doing these kind of things because they were like the poster boys of, you know, Indian education in South Dakota. But, because just a little bit that I knew was just so minute. Of course, you know, with Angela's reporting on the timelines, I just knew just a little tip of the iceberg.
Right.
You know. So, yeah. This is, so, yeah.
Well, are you up to taking a picture and sending it to me?
Well, let me talk to either that or I'll just send you to the email, but I just don't want... I'll send you an email probably.
Okay. All right, that sounds good. I still want to meet with you and buy you lunch when you come through and introduce myself and thank you and apologize for the way you were treated. Liz and I were already talking about that. She was when you meet Liz. Liz is a blessing. She is just a super blessing. She was outraged when I told her about this. She was already, her little mind was churning of, you know, this needs to be made right with you. And she says, if it's all that we can do is to clear your name, and, you know, I want you to tell you that's the mindset of Liz May and myself. I'm outraged that you were treated like this. There's no, you know, it's just, when they go after whistleblowers like this, it perpetuates corruption in government. And it allows bad people to continue to do bad things. And the fact that because they allowed this to go for so long, it surely contributed to the deaths of those kids. What other involvement did Margot Heinert have with any of this? Other than you told me she was in Melody Shop's office the day that the family was found dead. Did she have any other information about any of the Gear Up or Mid-Central or AIII problems?
Not that I know of, no.
So the only thing she ever did was she commented that she told you that she was in Melody Shop's office the day that they found the kids, and she told you, she gave you that comment that Melody Shop made?
She just said Melody started crying and said there's an email out, you know, and like Margot was trying to comfort her because Margot didn't know anything about it. She just said, you know, there's nothing you could have done, Melody, you know, this isn't your fault. And then supposedly Melody had made the comment that, you know, yes, there's an email out there, and that's all she said.
Okay. Okay, well, is there anything else you can tell me, ma'am, that would help help me understand this, you know, any better?
Oh, it would take hours to do that, Casey. I mean, you know, just to give you background and stuff. Other than the fact that, you know, I really wanted to go to Pierre and help improve Indian education, and that's what I thought I was going to be doing. And so I really took an interest in the budgets and the programs, and that's why I seen a few things weren't quite being done right. And I brought some questions and found out, you know, that things weren't quite like I wanted to be done, and I found out that I really didn't have the full autonomy to direct these grants. I had other outside organizations basically telling me how to do things, and like getting micromanaged by MidCentral. And you know, it was always all about the money. People wanted to manage this money in a way that they thought was best for kids, and I think it was all for personal, you know. But so we had right from the get go, we had a difference in philosophy. And you know, to give, you know, this all basically, a lot of this rests squarely on the arms and the shoulders of South Dakota, whether it's Department of Education or the legislature. When I got to peer as the director of Indian Ed, I had no budget. Oh, Luann, you're the director of Indian Education. You're sharing a secretary with another director, but, oh, you know, by the way, you don't have a budget either. So the reason Gear Up was so important to the state of South Dakota is because it made them look good. It made them look like they were really doing things for Indian kids.
Right.
And they didn't have to appropriate any money out of their own coffers.
Right.
So here comes Luann, and she sees some problems with Gear Up. Oh hell, they're not going to want her to talk about it, because that's something that that Governor Rounds and Melma and Moore could hang their hat on. Look what we're doing in South Dakota for Indian kids.
Right.
What about the fact that the state legislature, nobody else, appropriated any money for that office? If they really wanted to truly help kids, give them a decent budget, give them a good job description, and then turn them loose and let them do good things. That's why this Gear thing was so important at the time, because I was making comments about a nationally known program that everybody thought was so good, and how dare she speak ill of this program. It was important for the image of South Dakota that this was a good program, because they weren't supporting Indian education in any other way.
Well,
so this goes a lot, philosophically, a lot deeper than just, you know, a federal program.
Right.
South Dakota has never supported Indian education. Otherwise, they put their money where their mouth is.
Right.
So that's why this gear grant was so important.
Well, let me ask you, ma'am,
it made them look like they were doing good things.
Well, you know, documentary information is so important. Do you have any other documents or any other emails regarding any of this? You're expressing your concerns and your frustrations with these facts?
Oh, I don't know. I guess I'd have to go back and look at all my emails.
Okay.
You know, after I sent that email out to Melody and CC'd everybody and blasted her, I got home and, you know, and I had a friend say, "Man, Luann, you need to be careful." So I sent an email. I sent a follow-up email to Melody and the rest of the directors apologizing for that email, just because, you know, I was told, you know, that these guys are a bunch of assholes. You need to be careful. And I thought, well, I'll send out a letter apologizing for the previous email, just because I didn't want anything to come back to me. But no, I mean, I'd have to go back and look at things. You know, Dr. Kelly Duncan, she was a full-time employee at University of South Dakota, and then they made her project director for a while for college access. I mean, that's a real conflict of interest.
Right.
Mid-Central had a couple contracts with her. But nobody thought those kind of things were out of the ordinary, I guess. I don't know.
Wow.
It's crazy stuff, you know?
Yeah, it's...
When I look back on it, Stacey, I actually knew so little. I saw some of it, but then after all the stuff that ever got exposed, it's like, man,
After you send that email to me, ma'am, I would encourage you, if you got an opportunity, you're going to be in this side of the neck of the woods of South Dakota, I'd ask you to re-engage with Angela Konecki and give her this information on the record, so that your story is told, it's out there, and at that point, once you get the information out, they've got to deal with the information, and they can't target you. And what, you know, the information you have, ma'am, I'm just so frustrated, because you look back over the history books and our Native Americans have gotten screwed over so many times. And if you look back over the history, yeah, they look back and they said, yeah, these people were dishonest and they stole from these people and they identified some of them. Ma'am, if we don't do our job here, these people are going to get off scot-free. And the crime here is you're talking about millions of dollars that they have wasted, that they put in their own pockets that were supposed to go to Native American kids that could have changed their lives. And, you know, as a daddy, as a grandpa, I got to tell you, that pisses me off so bad that it's one of the reasons why I don't mind being a jerk and pressing forward on this and insisting the right thing gets done and these people held accountable. Because, ma'am, if you and I don't do our job here, we don't do the right thing, ma'am, these people will get away with this. And that would be on you and me. So, I'll stand by to receive that email from you, and then let me know what your itinerary, your schedule is the next couple days, so that I can buy you lunch or supper or breakfast when you're coming through this part of South Dakota. And I look forward to meeting you in person and paying my respects to you.
All right, we'll talk to you later then.
All right, take care. God bless. Bye bye.